Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled, The Self-Sacrificial Love of Jesus Needs to Become Our Divine Imperative. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to stop at verse 21 because I want to reflect for a few moments on these words. These words are, of course, a part of the upper room discourse that Jesus gave on the night of his arrest, or I should say betrayal and arrest. And what is very telling about these words are the careful way in which love is defined by Jesus. That is, the love that he says is indicative of love for him. And Jesus, of course, uses, in verse 15, he uses the word agape. He says to those of his intimate circle, that is, his disciples, if you love me, keep the commandments. If you love me, keep the commandments. This is love encapsulated. If you love me, keep the commandments. And so he goes on to speak to them in such a way as to let them know that continued love prevents disobedience. And so this love must grow. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so he uses the word keep, which is a word that means to acquire for oneself and then pass on to others, tereo. And so we have an aorist imperative active. If you keep on loving, me if you keep on loving me. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, not pray, and I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So please reference 1 John 2:1, Romans 8:26, and also see 1 John 4:6. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, or whom the cosmos cannot receive, and for that, please reference 1 John 4:6, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, or literally orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And of course, he's speaking of his post-resurrection ministry to his disciples at this point. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, and because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. I spoke in a previous show about a book that I read a long time ago, and this book was written by Arthur M. Young, and this book was very important for my development at that time, because he talks, it was called The Geometry of Meaning, and Arthur Young attempted to go beyond mere words, and he used formulas in order to address the essence of the universe. And at one point in that book, he talked about love as being the foundation of the universe. We don't often hear anything like that. We're often told that the universe is mechanistic. We are told that the universe is impersonal. And we are never told anything about the universe, that the foundation of the universe is love. We have been given or fed a political view, a politicized, scientized view of the universe. And so that book was not written by a believer. This man was not a believer, but this man has a profound understanding about physics. He was an engineer who designed the Bell helicopter. And he said that his motivation for writing this book was that the world was in such a mess, he needed to stop making money and do something that was constructive for the survival of the world. Jesus, in the Upper Room Discourse, is speaking to those who will carry on the message of the gospel after his ascension in Acts chapter 1. They will carry on his message, but he told them that they must tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endowed with power from on high by the Spirit of God. Now, if you look carefully at these words of Jesus, and there's a powerful simplicity about the language. And what I love about it, also about his words, is that they're stripped of any semantic glamour. These words are about are the truth spoken from him on the critical eve of his arrest, betrayal, trial, and crucifixion. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so, for Jesus, continuing in love for him meant that one would be obedient to his commands. And what was his command? Well, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. And then, when we go to chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide. That is, meno, you shall abide or remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Believers today experience both cognitive dissonance and spiritual dissonance because they are not centered in Christ. God, mom, and apple pie, a political theology, unfortunately, is the theology of the collapsing Western culture. Instead of looking to Jesus, and instead of looking to him for one's salvation, believers in the West, even though Western culture is fast collapsing, still want to look for political messiahs. And the Word of God, as spoken by Jesus, says, look, verse 20 of chapter 15, if you watch, the word keep, tereo, means to keep watch and pass on to others. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide or remain or dwell in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is how believers have a sense of spiritual well-being. This is how believers best serve themselves, their loved ones, their community, and their local churches, and their government, by loving Jesus. It is through him that prosperity and peace. It is through doing the word of God, doing the will of God from the heart. What does Jesus command? Love one another as I have loved you. John 15:17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And he wanted the believers to understand that this is the most vital commandment. Please read the book of James, in which James talks about the royal law, and its position in our lives, and how you and I will be judged by the royal law. It is a very, very powerful book, written by James, the man who heard this discourse by Jesus on the eve of his arrest, trials, and crucifixion. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.